what's happening on the big screen and the small. What to watch.
Joining us this week for a look at films worth watching. Wen Lee has cast her careful and critical eye over the matter and joins us. Wen Lee, good evening and welcome back to Nightlife.
Thanks for having me back.
Right, so we've got Top Gun Maverick. That's in cinemas. This is a sequel to the very famous Top Gun. We've got Super Pumped, The Battle for Uber, streaming on Paramount Plus. We've got The Time Traveller's Wife, streaming on Binge. Let's start with Top Gun Maverick. There'll be a market for this, I suspect.
I suspect there will, because obviously the original Top Gun, which came out in the 80s, is hugely beloved, not just for, you know, the fact that it's one of the most famous Tom Cruise movies from that era. You know, the need for speed, I think, is still ingrained in everyone's minds, but also a really great soundtrack. You hear the score of that movie and it's just so evocative. It takes you back to that era of Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer fighting it out for the title of, you know, the best fighter jet pilot for the US Navy. And it's taken, what, 30-something years for the sequel to come out. And you kind of think originally, you know, is there really a need for this? What more of this story is there to tell? Mm. Turns out there is, because, and I'm someone who, like, likes the original Top Gun but doesn't love it. I've only seen it once or twice. So I went in with, like, okay, let's see what this is about. And I came out of it just going, I loved it.
Does it continue the story or does it take it further?
Yeah, it continues the story. So Maverick, as Tom Cruise's pilot, his call sign is known, is still a pilot. He never really got promoted to admiral or anything like that, because all he wants to do is be in the sky. Uh-huh. And so he's still kind of like this, well, I guess as the name goes, a maverick fighter pilot who doesn't have the best track record of following orders. He tends to annoy admirals who, you know, the military quite like people following orders and doing what they're told, but he is still hugely talented. And so after one more scrape where he barely gets past it with his career intact, he's assigned back to Top Gun, which is the teaching college, really, for all these gun maverick sort of fighter jet pilots. And but he's there not to fly, but to teach a new class where they've got the 12 best graduates for the past few years, and to devise a pretty much impossible to fulfill mission against an unnamed enemy, which really is Russia. I mean, I'm betting it's Russia. They never say it. And I was actually a little bit in the film like, you know what? You can't open this movie in Russia anymore, so you might as well just say that it's Russia. But they've got this, you know, a nuclear facility that they have to try and bomb. It is almost impossible to fly in there and fly out and still come home with your life intact. So it is all about fulfilling that mission. And there's a lot of emotional gravity to it, because one of the 12 recruits, well, not recruits, but fighter pilots, is Goose's son. And, of course, Goose was played by Anthony Edwards in the original, and the character died. So there's a lot of emotional stakes in there. Tom Cruise's character feels guilty over his father's death, and he feels guilty over something that he's done to Goose's son in the past that has created this tension between the two characters. It, like, is actually really quite cheesy, and it's very earnest in that very 80s American action blockbuster movie, but somehow it manages to earn everything, and I felt really invested in it, even though I wasn't that invested in the original characters. But the thing about Maverick that just blew me away were those action sequences, because when you're talking about several action sequences where it's just a bunch of people sitting in a cockpit and kind of leaning one way, leaning another way, it can get really boring. But somehow they've made this extremely thrilling, that you are actually literally at the edge of your seat. The editing in those scenes are so good. You can always follow the action of what's going on. And the great, really impressive thing about it is they didn't cheat this. It's not the actors sitting in a cockpit on a plane that's on hydraulics in front of a green screen. They shot this up in the air. Those actors,
what?
Yeah, they learned how to fly these F-18s, and they went up in the air with six cameras mounted in front of their faces.
Really?
Filling the G-force of all of those things. So when their faces are going, you know, being pulled back and they look like they're about to pass out, that's happening for real. And you really feel the gravity of those scenes. And I think it makes such a difference.
Gee, that's a thing. I just assumed that it would have been staged in front of a green screen. No.
Exactly. I mean, but this is Tom Cruise. He spent the past few Mission Impossible franchises jumping out of planes,
doing
flying
his own
helicopters.
Doing his own stunts. Yeah,
doing his own stunts. And that was the thing that got him back to Top Gun, or to Maverick, is they were going to film those for real, and everyone, all those young actors, were going to learn how to do it themselves as well.
Wow. All right. This is a bit from the trailer of Top Gun Maverick.
Everyone here is the best there is. Who the hell are they going to get to teach us?
Captain Pete Maverick Mitchell.
We're going into combat on a level no living pilot's ever seen.
Not even him.
You think up there you're dead? Believe me.
My dad believed in you. I'm not going to make the same mistake.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now, Super Pumped, The Battle for Uber. What's this? It's a new anthology series, is it?
Yeah, it's a TV series. It is an anthology. So the second season, which is already being greenlit, is going to be about Facebook. The first season is about Uber. There is a bit of a trend at the moment with these sort of tech scandals. We've already had a drama series around WeWork. We've had a drama series around the Theranos scandal. This one is about Uber. I don't know if it's just because I'm not a driver, so I use Uber fairly frequently, that I felt quite, again, invested in the story, because I'm like, oh my God, I'm in an Uber every second day and this is what's happening in the company behind the scenes. And also I was semi-familiar with a lot of the scandals that happened generally around 2016, 2017, when it just seemed like Uber couldn't get any good publicity no matter how hard they tried. And you know what? They didn't deserve it because they did a lot of bad things. So it is based on a book that is nonfiction, but this is a dramatized version. You've got Joseph Gordon-Levitt playing Travis Kalanick, who was one of the co-founders and the then CEO of Uber. You've got Kyle Chandler playing Bill Gurley, who is a very prominent investor in Silicon Valley. And you're talking about a company with hundreds of millions and then eventually billions of dollars. And, you know, a model that was essentially creating an industry out of something that wasn't there before. So you've got a lot of egos, a lot of people with God complexes that said the law and conventional morality didn't apply to them because what they were doing was too important to the entire world. So it didn't matter if they had a company that was just teeming with sexual harassment, or that they had drivers that were being murdered, or they, you know, had a business model that relied on them not following the law in all these jurisdictions around the world. You put that all together and it is very dramatic. It's very binge-worthy. The show is not perfect. They have this really weird voiceover narration by Quentin Tarantino, no less, that I thought didn't really kind of work. And, you know, it does a lot of these stylistic things where they break the fourth wall and kind of speak to you directly or try to explain things like that movie The Big Short did. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't, because I think they felt they had all these really semi-complicated financial and tech aspects. But overall, I found the series quite fascinating because it was just such an incredible collection of all the things that had gone wrong at Uber. And, you know, I mean, this is out there. It's publicly available information that Travis Kalanick was eventually ousted from his own board in 2017. And you want to stick around for the schadenfreude of seeing his humiliating fall, and then you get reminded of the fact that his humiliating fall comes with like $20 billion.
Right. Yeah.
And then it didn't feel so good.
Yeah, exactly. All right. If you like The Social Network, for example, you'd probably like this, would you?
I think so. I think it's got that same kind of pacey, you know, very Silicon Valley people talking in a certain way.
I feel like
the characterization didn't go that deep, but it's still quite interesting.
All right, this is a bit from it.
Austin, how's it going with our future drivers? You getting them?
Got a bunch. Did you settle with the city?
Oh, no, we're not settling with the city. We are taking this city!
Yeah. You sure, TK? You know what they say about fighting City Hall.
See, this is the thing about changing the world. The world never wants to change. It's going to dig in its heels and tell you no and try to crush you. Fortunately for us, we are in the world-changing business. At least I am. I was built for this. They want to fight? Oh, I love to fight. You want to know who wins fights? Whoever wants it more. And who do you think wants this more? Them? Or me?
Yeah, idea. Okay, Silicon Valley exceptionalism. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, The Time Traveler's Wife. This is a streaming TV series on Binge. Now, I'm presuming this is based on the novel, is it? But wasn't there a movie already about this?
Correct, on both counts. It was a 2003 novel, which I do actually remember reading and then putting down at the end when I finished it and just crying on my bed for 30 minutes straight because I do remember loving this story. It's a romance. And then it was made in a movie around, I think, 2008, 2009 that starred Rachel McAdams and Eric Banner. And now it is a streaming six-part miniseries based on the novel. It is about a man who involuntarily time travels. He can't control it. He just pops in and out of mostly his own timeline. He tends to be drawn to the people that are important to him. And one of them is his, present slash future wife. But he keeps visiting her in her past. From the time she was 6 years old, he pops into her life 152 times between the ages of 6 and 18. It's a romance. I think maybe in 2003... you know, the public consciousness and understanding of things like grooming wasn't that sophisticated or as sophisticated as it is now. Mm. And there are aspects of this show, which, you know, especially the scenes where he's 41 and she's, you know, 12 years old, that just sits really quite awkwardly.
Yes.
But the scenes between the characters when they're contemporary to each other, which are now played by Rose Leslie and Theo James, they work really well. And I think, you know, at the core of it, it is this story about love and passion and devotion, but it is also a story about loss and the fact that all romances, no matter what, they end. And so the importance of it is actually living in that moment and even knowing that it will end eventually.
Mm. Yep. All right. Here it is, a little bit from The Time Traveler's Wife.
Sometimes when I'm stressed, I time travel. I can't control it. If I make the mistake of loving someone, I don't know how many times I'm going to have to lose them.
Mom! I miss you.
I'm here now.
Yes, it was. It was a hugely popular book, as you say, Wendley. All right, now, stars for Top Gun Maverick?
4 out of 5. Loved it.
I thought you did.
How could you tell?
Super. See, that's right. There's a jet fighter in you somewhere.
So. I can't even drive. I can't imagine what I'd be like trying to fly a plane.
Super pumped. The battle for Uber.
I think it's really interesting, even though it's uneven. So it's a 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5. And The Time Traveler's Wife?
Also 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5. Wendley, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.